www.thebigfootball.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we tee it up with our friends from Talk Radio News, the true insiders. And boy, I'll tell you what, it's got to be interesting times covering anything in Washington. Hey, Ellen, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Lots going on in Washington, D.C.
No kidding. The NSA deal and the stuff with Edward Snowden is really, really big. So what happens here? Because there's two schools of thoughts. Some are calling him a hero, some are calling him a goat. What's the latest?
Some are calling him a hero, some are calling him, you know, a traitor. And
yeah.
Some people are saying that he's not really being honest in what he did. He's making up stuff. Now, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But you think there's going to be charges. That's what they're doing right now, right? The Justice Department?
Look, I think the Justice Department is quite shocked that anybody finally revealed this, and I think they're kind of reeling from it. And what's even my friend Steny Hoyer, and he's my friend, he's minority leader, and he's, I guess, the minority whip now. He's not the minority leader. He was the majority leader. But, you know, he's saying, well, 56% of Americans don't care. Well, that was one poll. The Rasmussen poll has a very different number, and it's actually flipped. Many more Americans do care. So, and every talk show host I've talked to, and I talk to a lot of them during the course of a day, believes that this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. You're right about the flip. We'll talk about those polls later on the show, by the way, everybody listening. Another thing that's a big deal, and maybe it's getting buried a little bit because of everything else that's happening, but it's the assault hearings, the military stuff, the sexual assault hearings in the Senate.
That's right. Well, one of the things that they suggested today in the Senate is that they actually wind up going through the local prosecutors, state prosecutors. Well, the people in the military don't want their brass questioned. They don't want what they do questioned. So this is a very big issue.
All right, a big vote today, sort of procedural as you move forward and do the debate thing, but the immigration reform, what do you think happens here? Because Marco Rubio has kind of a pretty important amendment that if he doesn't get the backing, a lot of people think it collapses, and he's saying you have to have secure borders and it has to be controlled by Congress. What happens?
Maybe it collapses, but once you get to that, you know, the 60 votes to get it on the floor to a debate and then a vote, I'm not sure it can collapse. Now, what in the Senate, what will then happen, of course, is that collapses in the House.
Yeah.
And then you have no bill.
Yeah, interesting. We've talked before about the Keystone XL pipeline. What's going on? There's going to be some big hoopla in Boston, right?
There's a very big hoopla in Boston. The president tonight is a debate that has gone on, as I've been talking to you, and it is between Congressman Markey and the Republican. The president is coming to really shore up Congressman Markey, Chairman Markey, he was a chairman, he's still called chairman, I guess, ability to be the Senate, and the XL Keystone Pipeline people who are against it are going to be demonstrating, and they've promised demonstrations in many parts of the country.
Ellen Ratner, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it. Thank you.
Coming up this hour, of course, we check in with Stephen Shohet talking about the Man of Steel, Superman, one of the big, maybe, blockbusters of the summer. You know, it kind of kicked off with Iron Man 3, and some of the movies have hit and some of the movies have flopped, but I think Man of Steel should be a pretty big one, especially if you think 3D and whatnot, kids out of school, it looks pretty good. I've seen little snippets of it, so when we go to Hollywood, that's coming up in our next segment, we will talk to Stephen Shohet about that. Also, we're going to introduce you to somebody who knows what it's like to live in Afghanistan firsthand, Nazir Sansabab, somebody who was such a successful businessman, ultimately became had dual citizenship in the United States and in Afghanistan, but got political asylum at one point. What a fascinating story. But we get his take on what happened in Afghanistan. Scary stuff as we get closer to moving day, when most of our troops, except for a few, will linger back. 2014, here we are almost halfway through 2013. And speaking of what's happening in the Middle East, the riot police are out in full force because in Istanbul they're using tear gas, water cannons, anything they can. The police are saying it's out of control with the protesters, with fireworks and all kinds of things that now have happened. It's interesting because if you could have picked a place that was more calm and was kind of an oasis in all of what's happened now in the desert, I would have picked Istanbul, but not any longer. There's lots of drama that's been taking place really for the last 12 days, but it was starting to ramp up before that. So now here we go again. The NSA, the story that we opened up talking to Ellen about, and secrets and where we stand with that. Last show we were talking about labels, and is he a hero, like I said to Ellen, or is he a traitor? And it depends on your point of view, but it also, I think, depends on ultimately what drops out in the next couple of days, because this NSA leaker, Snowden, had much more information to tell. And as you will hear from one of our guests coming up, there's a good chance that he's on his way to China, and it could be one of those rendition situations where they squeeze. If you think about it, why would China be interested? Because China wants as much information about us as they can get, and they've got part of the playbook now since the information came out, as far as the snooping is concerned. And Google saying it has nothing to hide about government snooping, of course, because they're worried about blowback, worried about what will happen with their stock prices. So they sent an open letter to the Attorney General Eric Holder and the FBI director requesting the ability to make public the number of Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act requests they get, FISA they call them, the FISA requests. Under the law, Google can't do that. You're not supposed to be able to reveal that. So they want to make sure, and again, they have to be worried because of class action suits and possibilities, and also because of what's going to happen to their to the stock. Will it tank, and will people jump off of Google? And they want to say, look, we got transparency. We want the public to know that, you know, we're not harming national security. It's not us. So far, the FBI and the Justice Department haven't done anything. And this goes back to that PRISM program that the tech companies, the six tech companies that were reported last week to be part of the National Security Agency's information sharing program, this PRISM thing. And this is why Google comes back on that. So Google and Yahoo and Microsoft and AOL and Apple and our pals at PalTalk all in the middle of this. And you can bet if Google is going after that, then everybody else is going to ask for that hall pass too, because of wanting to be more transparent. You know, Google currently publishes, actually it's interesting, a transparency report of government-issued takedown requests for illegal material that's hosted on their servers. They want that out there, so they want to throw out the FISA request too. I don't know. We'll see if they end up letting them do that or not. Stephen Shohat, Man of Steel, on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
After 70 years, it's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All around him, Christmas signs and sleep. And through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
Steel, were you a fan of Superman? I certainly read all the comics, no question about it. So Man of Steel, highly anticipated. Couldn't wait to talk about this one with Stephen Shohet. He is the author of Hollywood Story, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movie. Check him out at HollywoodStories.com. You can get it in an audio version that's just terrific as well. Stephen, Man of Steel, I can just bet that you were probably a Superman fan, were you?
Absolutely, absolutely, since I was a kid. So, I mean, always been a big fan. And it's going to be really interesting to see. I think this Man of Steel movie will have more action than any other Superman movies ever had. So, it should be really interesting.
You know, it's how do you cast Superman, though? That's a tough role.
Well, you know, I think you almost always have to go with a lesser-known actor. I think, like back in the 70s, when they were casting Christopher Reeve, the producers were thinking, will people buy Robert Redford flying through there? Will they buy Clint Eastwood? I mean, they talked to him about it. I mean, Sylvester Stallone always claimed that Marlon Brando nixed him, but I just think, you almost have to go with a lesser known actor. You go back to the first one they made in 1948 when they hired Kirk Allen. The publicity was that, they couldn't find anybody to play Superman, so he'll be playing himself. So I don't know if there's a Superman curse, but there's an inherent, restriction almost, from the very beginning, when you cast that part, I think.
Yeah. The this is seen through the eyes of Zack Snyder, who is the director, and the producer is Christopher Nolan. So we certainly have seen some of what Nolan's been able to do. I expect a lot of high action, a lot of interesting things, I think, from Man of Steel. What do you think, thinking of Nolan?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a big fan. I love the three Batman movies, and now he's got the take on the Superman movie, him and the writer who worked on some of the Batman movies, David Goyer. And I think that they're going to look for this sense of alienation of the character that Henry Cavill is already saying that when you're an actor, you wander from movie to movie like a gypsy sort of, and then, you know, you get to know these people, you really like them, and then you're alone again and you go on to the next production and you start all over and the relationships don't last sometimes. And so that is what he's trying to bring to the part. And I think, that they're going to make, you know, they're just going to try and make it different from what's gone on before. Of course, the one thing that they're doing is, we've seen the same story with him coming from the other planet, with him being raised on the farm, with him becoming Superman. It's been retold so many times. It's kind of interesting that they never just start the movie off at the Daily Planet and assume that everybody knows Clark Kent is Superman and go to the adventure from that point. So it's going to be different, but at the same time, they're starting all over, so they're going to retell the origin that people are greatly familiar with. That, you know, some people have compared it to Moses. I think when Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster created Superman, you know, two Jewish kids from Cleveland in the 30s, I think Moses, the story of Moses, was one of their influences, the parents giving up their kid and sending him off to a distant place. I think that it had something to do with the creation of the character. And I think, you know, that, I mean, I think people like that story and are feel comfortable with that story. So I think there's a pleasing familiarity. And at the same time, I think these new filmmakers will be different with it.
Yeah. You briefly touched on this, and Jack said something about it, said, what about the cursed deaths of the people who play Superman? And, of course, referring to George Reeves and Christopher Reeve. And what happened with both of them. But I think that's just coincidence, although it does add, I suppose, in a way, to movie lore, doesn't it?
I guess it does. I mean, you know, obviously Brandon Roth and Dean Cain and Tom Welling don't seem to be overwhelming the movie screen right now after playing that part. Neither does Gerard Alexander. So, I mean, I mean, Christopher Reeve, that was a freak accident. But as far as acting went, he did okay with movies like Death Trap and The Bostonians. And I think Somewhere in Time was a really beloved movie for a lot of people. And you know, he had that great story where he wasn't sure if it was going to work as Superman, and he was doing the scene in New York where he captures the bad guy climbing up the building, and he's sitting in the trailer, and he thought, this is so ironic. I have two bodyguards, and I'm Superman. And so he walked from the trailer to the location, and he's like, nobody cares. You know, this movie's going to be a flop. And he turned the corner, and there were thousands of people behind barricades who started cheering. And that's when he really felt there was a longing, a great desire to see Superman, that a lot of people did remember the TV show and couldn't wait to see the live-action version once again. I think that helped him get more confident in doing the part. And he, you know, I still think he's probably the most beloved, most liked Superman. He did something George Reeves didn't do. He played Clark Kent and Superman as two different people. And I think he did the best job as that. Whereas, if you watch the old Superman show, I mean, I think it's fun, but George Reeves always seemed to have so much confidence as Clark Kent. I didn't find him mild-mannered at all. But Christopher Reeve, he was definitely, you know, doing the slouching and feigning a lack of confidence anyway, and saying different things than Superman would say, and I think that is what made his performance fun.
Do you think that this is, I totally agree with you, by the way, do you think that this is the first in a series of a couple? Is that the idea, kind of like the Batman deal?
Oh, yeah, they're going to try and do a trilogy. In fact, I think they want to get to, which is something Christopher Nolan originally didn't want to do, that I think they want to get to a Justice League situation since the Avengers with the Marvel characters made $1.5 billion. I think they want to do, the Justice League. Now, the thing that Christopher Nolan constantly said was that in order for Batman to work, Batman has to be the only hero in the universe. And then he later said that about Superman. So that's the one thing is with his at least initial idea, that their worlds would be unique. But, you know, once Warner Brothers sees how well the Avengers is doing for Disney, I think the commercial art considerations might start to outweigh the artistic a little bit.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's on my calendar for sure. I can't wait to see it. I don't know. It looks pretty good to me, the little clips that I've seen for sure. We'll be doing it again next week, my friend.
You got it.
All right, so check out Stephen Shohet's stuff. It's really, really good. HollywoodStories.com. It's just a great read because it's got the backstories, the snippets, the things that I think make him interesting and make Hollywood interesting, the story behind the story. And I think there's going to be some stories to tell of the Man of Steel. You know, this is a long movie, too. When you go, you got to settle in. It's 2 hours and 23 minutes, so that means that's without any of the previews and first look and everything else that they show you, depending on what theater you go and see it in. But I don't know. There's something about this one mixing sci-fi and you know, action-adventure type deals and the adaptation. I think that they look like they have sprung here. I think this one's going to be pretty big. The opening should be interesting this weekend. I'm predicting pretty decent things at the box office. I know my young nephew was talking about going to see Man of Steel. That was one of the things that he had circled on his calendar. It's funny when you look at the summer in the box office and Fast and Furious 6 and some of the movies that you thought might be big hits. It's been pretty interesting this time around. All right, buckle in, a couple of great interviews coming your way next here on America Tonight, talking about going a little bit deeper on Snowden and the NSA dump and the fact that they haven't been able to find him as he left his room in Hong Kong. Hang with us.
Can heart and body extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using heart and body extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking heart and body extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com.
enhancing health and privacy.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Springtime is sale time at Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big and stock up at HerbalHealer.com. New customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's spring specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Sea Cucumber, Super Fam and Super Male Plex, plus Glucosamine Chondroitin, our best selling liquid CalMag Vitamin D, and our colloidal minerals, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. And Herbal Healer also offers certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy at HerbalHealer.com.
Taliban suicide bomber hit outside Afghanistan's Supreme Court, killed 17 people, one of the deadliest attacks in Kabul in over a year and a half by my clock. It's the second consecutive day of these attacks in the capital city. So it's, of course, undermining what's happening with the Afghan forces to keep security without help from NATO troops. And we know what's happening. 2014, of course, the big pullout. Just a quick detail, the attacker rammed his SUV into buses carrying court employees at the end of the day, and all of the dead were civilians, including women and kids. At least 39 people were also wounded. Boy, oh boy. The Taliban said this was their blow to cruel judges who obey Western powers and warned of more bombings to come. Our next guest here on the show, or our first one up actually, Nazir Shanshab, has some interesting things to say. He was once Afghanistan's leading industrialist before he was forced out of his home country that he loved in 1975. He's lived in D.C., so he knows the politics there for a long time. He holds dual citizenship in U.S. and Afghanistan, and he's a leading media expert, rather, on Afghanistan. We're thrilled to have him. He also is the author of a great book, Silent Trees. It's cool. It's a novel set in Afghanistan, which he knows well, prior to the Soviet invasion. Nazir, thanks for popping on the show. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
So it's got to just tug at your heartstrings when you hear what I just talked about, that we had this yet another deadly attack when we're getting ready to pull out of Afghanistan. What do you think of when you hear stuff like the suicide bombers just upping the game again and the Taliban saying, expect more?
It's a tragedy, and what I fear is that it's going to be worse than it's not going to be better.
Yeah. What do you think the U.S. should do to try to stem some of this violence and this horrible instability we're still seeing in Afghanistan?
I'm afraid it might be a little bit too late, because we already have decided to leave Afghanistan after 2014. I'm not sure whether in the remaining time we have, we can change much of what has happened, and most of what has happened has been negative. Afghanistan is still the failed state it was in 2001 when U.S. forces invaded it. I think that that the opportunity to rebuild Afghanistan was squandered. The warlords are still in power. Institutions have not become strong enough to control the system. The rule of law has not been established. The country is mired in poverty, and it's a bad, bad situation.
And as you said, you know, look what's happening with the big pullout, and that I mentioned also, obviously at the top. Do you think America should somehow retain as strong as military presence as possible in Afghanistan because of things that you just talked about?
I think we left Afghanistan once about 30 years ago and had a bad experience, terrible experience in what happened. And I think if we do it again, we will have to go back probably into that region after maybe a decade and spend more of our blood and of our money to get it right again. I think it would be cheaper and probably the right thing to do to stay in Afghanistan at least for 2-3 years. Do it right and be careful with what you are doing and what people you are working with, and then leave when the country is more pacified.
You described what it was like. There was poverty. The rebuilding in Afghanistan didn't work. It wasn't what you had hoped it would be. What other things have you personally observed when you've made a lot of these trips back to Afghanistan?
Total chaos, corruption, lawlessness, poverty, and hopelessness.
Mm.
And these are all things that do not augur well for the future of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I agree. Benghazi, obviously you know that. You're in Washington. It's still a huge topic because there's answers, frankly, in my opinion, we haven't gotten, and there's a lot of frustration there. What do you think happened in Benghazi as somebody who knows that territory really, really well? Do you think it was some sort of an inside job, and it was to mark the anniversary of the death of Osama bin Laden?
From what I have heard about it and read about it, I think it was a planned inside job. I think they chose the specific day of September 11, and with all the weapons they used and the number of people they had on site, I think it was a planned job.
Yeah. You know, you left Afghanistan, I mentioned that a little bit at the beginning, and you sought asylum in the United States in 1980. What was that like for you? I mean, you had to, I would assume I'm speaking for you, but you had to, I'm sure, had a sigh of relief with a family and that kind of stuff. What was that like when you made that transition?
I was very happy for having been able to bring my children, my family to this country and give them stability in their lives, which is so important. It's unbelievable. Once you go through instability, you know how hard it is to live in that under those conditions. But it was a struggle. It was a struggle for survival. It was a struggle for trying to take care of the children. But it all happened well, and it all happened well because this is a perfect country to come and raise your family and educate your children. My children are all grown up. They are all successful people, and we are a happy family. And this is the gift that America gave us.
There you go. Love to hear that. One last one. We only have a minute or so, Nazir, but I said you were leading industrials when you were in the country. You were a distributor for Toyota, Mercedes, Michelin, all that kind of stuff. So you were successful. It had to be disheartening to watch that all get pulled apart. Did it sort of almost seem as though it was overnight?
Well, in one sense, it was very, very hard. In another sense, I never looked back and never said, my God, why did it happen to me? I think if you go into that mode, then you don't try to make something out of your life. I didn't go back. I didn't look back. I just started to work and go forward. And perhaps I was one of the few very lucky ones that made it.
There you go. Nazir Shanshab, thanks so much for coming on the show. Pick up his book. What a good read, and really knows Afghanistan well. We wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you. And again, he's the author of Silent Trees. You can pick it up anywhere, and it's about Afghanistan. All right, it's interesting talking to Nazir and thinking about the situation in Afghanistan, and as I mentioned there to him, we're not too far away from the ultimate pullout of that country, which was always my biggest fear in this entire time where we had been in Afghanistan, the blood, sweat, tears that we have given to that country and ultimately what we're seeing. And today was another sign of that, and the Taliban saying, listen, we're repelling Western ways. So if you want to fall into the trap, government, of following what the West is doing, then we'll show you and look for more retaliation. So they're threatening that they're going to bomb other places. They're going to bomb other places in Kabul and whatnot. Or, you know, they didn't give them a specific roadmap, but they said the Taliban was sure to jump on it, say this is us, and we're telling you that we're going to make more moves on you if you continue to follow down this path. And, you know, you look at Nasir's background, and I mentioned it just a tad there, how he was even at one point a major contractor for road construction and maintenance and irrigation projects. He had a company called Sanshabab Services and didn't really have any competition there. But then once things started to change politically, and this is why we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth when you see what other people go through, then when things changed politically, there were some trumped up charges against him from what is now the now deposed king. And before you knew it, he had to get out of the country ultimately, especially when things flipped with the Soviet invasion in 79 and what had happened when he tried to flee the country. He and his family actually went to Germany because they were hoping the situation would change. And, of course, it didn't and would allow him to go back to his home country. But because of the Soviet invasion and everything else, he instead came to the United States. You could tell how grateful he is to the United States, as he said. He got that political asylum in 1980. And think of how different times were in 1980. But he has that strong tie to Afghanistan, and he's gone back and been absolutely horrified by what he has seen and all these trips in what he's seen in the mountains of Afghanistan and some of the crazy poverty and chaos, as he was describing to us there, that continues on. So as we're getting ready to leave this country, as you wonder what condition are we leaving it in, and it's so sad because we knew this. We projected that callers, I'm saying, and myself, that this was easy to look at a crystal ball and say, listen, this is what's going to happen here. We are headed down this path, and it's too bad, because wouldn't it be great to leave, feel like it was a victory, feel like the Taliban didn't have the strongholds anymore, But unfortunately, that's not the case. And what happened today at the embassy, near the embassy, is just an indication of still how scary it is there. Stay with us.
So, a natural disaster strikes, and out goes your power. You risk losing stored food in electric freezers and refrigerators. Your options: lose all that expensive food and medication, fire up a noisy gasoline-powered generator, or switch now to a propane or natural gas-powered refrigerator from Ben's Discount Supply. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com has a complete line of propane-powered refrigerators. Freezers in sizes ranging from a small camper cooler size up to a whopping 21-cubic-foot refrigerator freezer or a 22-cubic-foot deep freezer. In stock and ready to ship anywhere. Ben'sDiscountSupply.com also stocks a full line of solar-powered appliances to get you completely off the grid. Check out Ben'sDiscountSupply.com or call 800-771-7702. That's 800-771-7702. Or click Ben'sDiscountSupply.com for camping, home, or bug-out location. Bank on Ben'sDiscountSupply.com.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Very thrilled to welcome to the show David Gartenstein Ross. And boy, he has a lot to say. He is the director, Center for the Study of Terrorist Radicalization for the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. I'll tell you, I read such an interesting piece that he put together. And let me tell you, he focuses his research on the challenges pretty much that are out there by violent non-state actors. And his studies go deep, deep, deep. So, again, we are thrilled to have him on the show. David, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to join you.
All right, so I just want to get your initial reaction when you heard the story about Edward Snowden and all the information that was being culled and the stuff that started to spill out in the Guardian and the Washington Post.
Well, initial reaction is kind of a very narrow category. You have a number of things going on. You have Snowden himself. You have his flight to Hong Kong. and his leaving Hong Kong for parts unknown, perhaps, and I think quite likely China, you have on top of that the information itself. On the one hand, a very broad order that the NSA got from the FISA Surveillance Court, which is looking into a vast number of phone records for Americans. Then you have two other pieces of information, one of which is the PRISM, which is a program for basically a surveillance program, and then what's called Boundless Informant, a very poorly named program, which is an analytic program that basically enables the government to take part in what most people would call data mining. So there's a lot going on there, and a lot of different thoughts on all of them.
All right, so let's take the top one, because he's missing from Hong Kong, supposedly, as you say, probably on a flight to China. So is he going to get asylum in China?
Well, that's an excellent question. The Russian government offered him asylum, which, you know, all of which is very interesting, given that in the first place, he is expressing libertarian concerns, justifiable ones, but then goes off to first Hong Kong, which isn't really a bastion of civil liberties, and then, you know, you're looking at both China and Russia as states that are very interested in him. You know, I'm not sure what China will do. It's possible they'd give him asylum. It's possible they would say that they simply can't find him, which would give them much freer rein to deal with him. I can tell you for a fact that the Chinese government is absolutely interested in getting all of the information that they can from Snowden. Absolutely interested in that. In that, you know, he's disclosed information publicly, but he also, you know, knows how all these programs fit together. He also claims to have, you know, snooped around into a lot of substantive material. I do question the extent to which he actually had access to snoop around. I think he's exaggerating his credentials. But all of that constitutes a great deal of information he has about U.S. intelligence programs, which would be of great value to the Chinese. The Chinese, you know, the Chinese government is a fairly devious entity. I think that you know, what I would be concerned about if I were him is not so much the Chinese giving me asylum, but China saying, yeah, we don't know where Snowden is, and meanwhile basically engaging in rendition, you know, keeping him in a fairly uncomfortable circumstances for a long period of time and trying to get all the information they can from him out of through both coercive means and also through providing him a great deal of carrots.
Oh, yeah. Talk about PRISM and just how vast this is and how come we didn't realize this was going on.
Well, PRISM actually is not the part of this that I would consider to be vast. I'd consider the part that's vast to be the FISA court order. The reason why I wouldn't consider PRISM, I do have concerns about PRISM in particular, but we just don't know how widely it's applied. What it is a tool, seemingly, based on reports that have been published, it seems to be a tool that is designed to allow the government to conduct surveillance across a number of platforms. That's something that's unsurprising. We know that the government conducts surveillance. There's no question about that. The question really is the scope of the surveillance. And if, you know, it turns out that this surveillance is taking place in which they're looking at emails and chat logs and the like, according to, you know, properly produced warrants, then you know, very few people would have a problem with that because that's what the government does. It conducts surveillance upon bad actors after getting warrants. The thing that is more problematic from a perspective of surveillance being widespread is the court order that the government got against Verizon, which basically has Verizon give all of what they call the telephonic metadata to the government. What telephonic metadata is, it's not the content of telephone calls that are made, but rather it's the fact that a call is made from a location to another phone for a certain period of time. All that information is metadata that's created by the call, and you can learn a lot from metadata. This is why this immense, basically this immense collection is problematic, even though it doesn't give rise to the content of communications. Even things like someone calling a suicide hotline or calling a phone number for alcohol treatment or drug treatment, all these things will come out in the metadata. And, you know, there's a lot there that can be embarrassing to people or give rise to blackmail. So you can, there's concerns not just to what the government is doing with it now, but the creation of a massive database that also has the potential to really have bad consequences if someone hacks into it or if a foreign government obtains access to it or the like.
There you go. Just a couple of minutes left. In your opinion, as a terrorism expert, does it work in this whole data mining deal here? Is any of this working to uncover would-be bad guys that want to harm us?
Well, I think the answer is yes with a but. And the except what I would caveat everything by not just is it working to some extent, but how well is it working and is it really necessary? I have no doubt that, you know, having a massive data set can be helpful in trying to track down terrorists and look at patterns. But it's not clear that there is any case in which this massive program of getting all these call logs was necessary to come up with the perpetrator. The case that's been floated publicly is a case involving an individual named Najah Bolazazi. But you know, his name had been given to the U.S. previously by an individual named Brian Milvinius, who'd gone to an Al-Qaeda camp and had been captured. So, you know, the government could easily obtain a warrant to conduct surveillance against him. So I think that when you look at the questionable benefit to security, which I don't think is zero, but I don't think it's particularly high, especially when you look at the fact that there are other ways to go about it, then to me that really calls into question the significant privacy implications of this data being gathered.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. David, thanks for joining us. We look forward to talking to you in the future. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
For sure, this conversation is going to continue as to what happened with the NSA and how many secrets have been dropped out and what's going to happen with Snowden. Ultimately, we know there's going to be some charges here. I'd be stunned if there weren't. I think one of the biggest things that also comes out of this is this misinformation craziness of the contractors has to be a big concern. But, of course, why are they hiring contractors? And the answer is to save money. So they had an emergency, I'll call it an emergency meeting, and I'll call it an interesting meeting on Tuesday, a closed-door meeting with the national Senate leaders, with the National Security Agency chief, and talking about the story about Snowden leaking the details about the U.S. surveillance programs, right? And now they're calling for public hearings. So what kind of oversight have we not gotten? What kind of straight answers are we not getting ultimately? And to me, the thing that needs to be answered is, wow, how can you have federal government programs that are collecting information about millions, maybe even more, of phone calls and internet activities that are going on between Americans, and you have somebody like Snowden somehow in charge of that or being a piece of that anyway, and then dumping the information? Why isn't that somebody who has massive clearance? And like I said, the answer is because of the numbers, because of the fact that they're hiring contractors because it's cheaper. So it's cheaper to get contract labor. And are they getting this high-level security clearance? Because this is classified information. This is a policy problem here. How do you have somebody in that position that has his hands on the kind of information, that kind of intel? And, you know, are we going to declassify information on the NSA programs? Would that satisfy all of our curiosity? I think they got to blow up the PRISM program, don't you? I think they got to get rid of that sucker. All right, stay with us. We're jumping on the other side of the wall.
Hi, my name is Stephen Huer. As a degreed nutritionist, my first priority is for you to get healthy. That won't happen if I make wrong recommendations or cause you to spend money on supplements you don't need. After 20 years working with thousands of products and thousands of people, I know, for the most part, what does and does not work. One World Whey is the first and only unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows on the market. It retains substances that no other whey protein powder has. These nutritive compounds supply life-giving nutrition. Your body merely needs the right conditions to make great health happen. Due to low-quality foods, toxicity, and aging, having great health is more of an effort than ever. One World Whey is the superfood of the century, and when added to your diet, it promotes energy, detoxification, muscle gains, fat loss, and overall radiant health. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.